Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, and joining me this morning, our Destiny Diva, Dr. Bernita Adams Robinson, here to talk about emotional healing right now. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful, Twanda. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, and I can smile and still have joy in spite of what's going on around me, and a lot of people cannot.
Yes.
I had a lady tell me, she said, you know, I tried to turn the TV off. And she said, at every channel, it was about somebody died, somebody got murdered.
Yes.
Some, you know, the police died, or somebody got blown up. And I'm thinking our country probably has a country of PTSD because we're all in shock.
We are.
About how this thing is going and how it's all fleshing out. So I told her, I said, you need to turn your TV off for a while. She says, it's like a bad wreck. I turned it off and I turned it back on and I turned it off. And so they can't stop watching.
And you know something, the way she says that is that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's like you're standing on the sideline,
mm-hmm.
and you see a train swooping down the track, and you see several cars just still running over that track, and you know it's about to hit, but what do you, train, stop, and the train is not stopping. So you see that collision is about to happen, but you don't know what to do, and you can't stop watching. That's what I'm calling it a climate of hostility and anger right now.
Yes,
our entire nation is in a climate of anger and hostility.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is how we're dealing with that and how we're seeing that. And we're not putting things in perspective. Because on the one hand, yes, we have some issues out there.
Yeah.
There are police officers
mm-hmm.
who are not responding the right way. Be it they are prejudiced, be it they're angry, or be it they're scared.
They're scared, right.
Because I truly believe this last incident with the young man in the car with his girlfriend, I got a feeling that that police officer reacted in fear.
He was scared.
He was scared. But the end result is the same. Another mm-hmm. young black man died.
Senselessly. Yeah.
But what we're seeing, and I'm not pointing a finger at the media. I really am not. They do what they're being paid to do. They report the news.
Ad nauseum.
The problem is how they're reporting the news.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to give you know, I'm good on statistics.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know what's going on. A few days ago, I sat on an interview panel where one of the panel members was a major with the Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
And this incident came up. Of course, we talked about everything that's going on in this country, and this is number one right now. He said that he read a report from the Atlanta police chief, and the report stated that in 2015, the Atlanta police officers had 1.5 million contacts with the public. Only 9 cases of those 1.5 million contacts resulted in a weapon being drawn or used.
Wow.
It was those 9 cases that made the news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those other 1.4999999 that involved everything from routine traffic stops to talking people off the ledge
mm-hmm.
to domestic violence situations to lost children to endangered child situations. None of those situations that ended positively made the news.
Right.
So if the media has to report what they see, fine. But be equitable in that process.
Be fair. Yeah.
Because you're igniting an already flaming fire.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than trying to put a little bit of ice water around to contain that fire, they're blowing it up with gas.
Oh, yes.
And they're making it worse.
Mm-hmm. Also, yesterday, I heard the statistics that they were talking about overall the murders of, you know, police officer, a person, that the majority was white males.
Mm-hmm.
Well, were whites.
Mm-hmm.
And blacks and Hispanics were 13%, something very low, whereas the majority, 40, 50% of it was whites.
Yeah.
And nothing ever gets said about that. And we're not saying that our lives don't matter. But understand, you got to put it in perspective. Mm-hmm. And why is it being blown out of perspective right now? There is something in the background going on should not be focusing on, that they're making this so big. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand how things work around here, you know?
Right. Grieve for those young black lives
lost. Yes.
And the thing is, you know, God makes it very clear. If something grieves your spirit consistently, do something.
Yes. Yes.
But do something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Take action. Look at you know, because I think a huge thing to me that is very clear is there needs to be stronger and mandated sensitivity and specific, you know, training for how to interact with people of differences.
Yes.
You need to know how to interact, because sometimes you just don't know the culture.
No.
Cultures are different.
Very different. Very
and
different.
That's why this last incident with the young man and his girlfriend, you had a, I don't know whether he was Korean or Chinese, but somebody.
He was Asian. Yeah.
He was.
I believe he was Asian.
Asian, mm-hmm. Of Asian descent, dealing with an African-American male who told you that he had the gun in the car and had a license. But just because you saw him lean over, you assumed something negative.
Oh, my gosh.
So there needs to be some strong and mandated sensitivity and cultural awareness training in every police force in this nation.
You know, I saw one of the movie stars, he talked about how he gave a video about how to now, in this climate, so that you won't get killed when they tell you, get your license, get your registration, so you won't get killed. He says, before they come out the car, go ahead and put your license and your registration on the dashboard.
Wow, that's a good advice.
And I was like, that's amazing, because I remember having to tell my kids how to drive, how to stop, what to do when a police stops you.
Mm-hmm.
And things have changed so much. It's so volatile right now. And it's scary. I talked to several parents of young black males like myself and like you. You have too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frightening what's going on. They don't have to be doing anything.
No. And my son, my 20-year-old, on the one hand, he cracked me up. And on the other hand, I was really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
He came home last week and he got a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he was already a little frustrated. Left work, things had happened. He was a little frustrated. He said he got about one minute outside of the gate of where he worked. Woo-woo! He got stopped because his tag had expired.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to see a pictorial of how he explained this. He said he put both hands firmly on the wheel of the car at like 10 o'clock
and
2 o'clock.
Right, 10 and 2.
Locked his elbows, let the window down halfway, looked straight ahead, and when the officer started to talk to him, he said, yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And the officer said, son, do you... Yes, sir. I didn't know that, sir. I'm sorry, sir. he said, may I see your license and registration? He said, he looked at him, he said, I got to take my hand off the wheel.
Yeah.
And I've got to go over here.
Exactly.
He walked through everything. He said, the officer leaned over. He said, son, are you okay? And before they ended, the officer accepted that he was a young black man, literally
scared.
Fearful.
Yes.
So the officer made light of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, so when he gave me the ticket, we were calm again, and it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that atmosphere,
oh my goodness,
that particular atmosphere is making it very difficult for officers to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at it like this. Yes, so many of we've got several of our young black men who are gone.
Yeah.
Needlessly.
Yeah.
But for every one of those police officers that were involved in that situation, there are literally thousands of others who are in it for the right reasons.
Right.
They took this oath to take care of communities.
Mm-hmm.
They took this oath to be there for community citizens. And they have a passion to help their communities. But what we see are those officers who have done the wrong thing for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And we're reacting to all officers based on those. And I understand it's kind of hard. It's hard to tell. You never know what you're going to get.
And wait a minute. And it's not now. It's all police. It ain't just white police. It's black police. It's anybody in blue.
Exactly.
We're reacting to.
Exactly. And we're killing.
Yes.
There, yes. You know, the last three that were the killed over the past weekend,
yes.
One of those officers were black, mm-hmm. two white.
Mm-hmm.
Four others injured?
Yes.
And you don't know whether these officers could have been some of the main officers trying to eradicate change in their communities. You don't know who you're killing while you're going on these vengeful killings. And that has to stop. That has to stop. The auntie of the young man who facilitated this last round of slaughter, because that's what it was, when she found out that he was the one who did it, she was, and I think he was killed.
Yeah.
And she just cried out to the media. She said, this has to stop.
Yes.
Please stop the killing. And that is my cry today.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, if you're angry about this, rightly so, be angry. But put that anger in the right place.
Put it in the right perspective.
Put it into mm-hmm. getting some guidelines
mm-hmm.
changed.
Mm-hmm.
Put it into pushing your legislators to do something to ensure the safety of our police officers and thereby the safety of our communities. If our officers need more training, then push for that.
Yeah.
If we need more awareness on cultural sensitivity in our communities, push for that. But do not let the enemy come in and ravage our communities, because
that's
what he's doing.
And making us live in fear, literally.
Absolutely.
We live in fear. We had chief of police from Clayton County. I'm trying to remember his name. Gary Register. Mm-hmm. I know the last name. It was Michael Register, I believe. And one of the students asked him, are police trained to shoot to kill? Because it appears so. And he said, absolutely not. He said, every situation is different. And, you know, there's a ramp up, you know, of what happens. But also, you know, he was talking about the many police officers who, like you just said, who took the oath for community.
Mm-hmm.
And the young people asked him, it seems like, you know, they took the oath that blue protects blue. That there are, what about the good officers? They're not saying, hey, that was wrong. They're not standing up for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it look like they're all in it together. And that's a tough place to be as well.
It really is. But this is where that awareness has to come in on all parts.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be aware and put things in perspective. But, and I understand, because the military has that same code,
mm-hmm.
that code that says we stick up for one another.
We protect
we
one
support
another.
One
That's
another,
because right.
we're out here, we're a band of brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that band of brothers mentality, and it needs to be, because on the street, when the guns come out and the bullets fly, they have to depend on each other.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, there has to be a point when you see that your brothers have done something atrocious.
Yeah.
Have done something to undermine the respect, the trust of your band of brothers, that they just got to be kicked out of the brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. They've gone off the rails.
Okay, they've gone off
out,
the rail,
right?
And you need to say, okay, that was wrong. You
yeah.
need to, hey, let's
yeah.
do what we got to do.
Right.
And I think that part is one part that the public is not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, more than anything, or with everything else, is igniting the fire.
Yes.
That's gas on the fire too.
It is, because they're not the good ones that we talk about, the good ones, but they're not standing up.
They're not standing up and said enough is enough.
Right.
Not
right.
all of them. Now, I was very impressed about, I think a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, on 102.5.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the young man that has the afternoon show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rap artist.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a police officer who was also a pastor on the show. And what the pastor said, he said, what we have to do, and he was talking, we as the band of brothers police
mm-hmm,
officers,
mm-hmm.
we have to be more vocal when we see some of our fellow officers not doing the right thing.
Yes.
And he said, when the community sees that, they will understand that we are just as brokenhearted.
Right.
When we see this and we hear these things. He said, but what I want the community to understand is the majority of officers are there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us do fall. Some of us are not there for the right reason. But the most part, we're there for you, and we're there for the community. And we need to bridge this very deep gap that has come as a result of all these situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, when I was on that panel last week, the major told me of an incident with one of his officers. He said the officer was in a park, and he met a mother and with her child. And the mother looked at the child and looked at the gun on his holster and said, "See, son, if you're bad, he's going to take that gun out and shoot you."
Whoa. Wow.
And the officer told the major, he said, "I was in a quandary."
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you never want to teach a child not to respect what a parent says.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I can't have children thinking that we're there to for the fear factor.
Right. We're just going to shoot you.
Yep, we're going to shoot you.
Yeah.
So he said, he said the officer looked at the son and said, "Son, we only shoot bad guys when we have to.
Mm-hmm.
But children, we take care of you, and that's why we're here."
Good.
And he looked at the mother, smiled, and walked away.
Oh, my gosh. That was awful.
We have to be very careful of the messages we're sending.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, if somebody breaks in your house, who are you going to call?
The police.
911.
Mm-hmm.
If you get, if you're a woman and you feel that your life is being threatened or you're about to be attacked, who are you going to call?
That's right. It ain't 911. It's not Ghostbusters.
Okay.
You can call 911.
You can call 911. If you are having an issue with somebody and there's some fighting going on in your community, you may not like it, but the bottom line, you're going to call 911. And the base of that is when you call 911, you are going to expect a police officer or sheriff to show up and do something.
That's right. That's right.
So we have got to bridge this gap because the bottom line still is, at the end of the day, when we're in trouble that way, we want our police officers to be responsive.
That's right. That's right. And most of them are doing a stellar job.
Every day.
Yes, yes, putting their lives on the line. You know, another question that was asked was about the psychological testing of these officers.
Yes.
And do some of these officers actually have PTSD? And now they're talking about how they're doing a study. Of course, they've done it with military. But you got to think with police officers, just having that level of stress every day, some of them must have PTSD.
And then the question is, how often are they tested?
Right.
Now, yes, I know they're tested as part of the regiment to join the force. But, and again, if you're angry about this, put that anger and energy in the right place. Contact your police officers, officer unit or whatever. Ask that question.
Yeah.
How often are they tested? And if we find that the testing is not an annual situation, which I believe it should be, then work towards that.
Yeah.
Work towards something beneficial that's going to take the stress that these officers have to deal with every day
every
and put
day.
It in perspective for
yes,
them.
Because yes.
one of the things I found, because I work for a social services agency, so one of the things I found that really is a positive, and it's not a mandate, but there are very successful people in this environment who have purposely strategized every couple of years. They go to a job or they try to get transferred to a job or they put in for a job that is not quite so stressful. And then they'll come back maybe in a couple of years to the stressful kind of job.
Because you need a break.
You need a break.
You have to have a break.
And I found those to be the most dynamic, caring, positive, can-do social services representatives of the whole agency. That needs to be a mandate in an arena like the police officers.
Yes,
they are constant. You figure you just go to a car. You don't know whether a gun coming out or not.
That's right.
Just to give us a routine traffic stop.
Oof. And your nerves are like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they can't wear a bulletproof vest every day. And even if they do, somebody might point at their heads.
Yeah.
So if you're angry, be angry. It's okay. It's an emotion that God gave you. But God says there's a time for anger.
Yeah.
That means you take that anger and you sit down and strategize how you can positively utilize that anger to make something good happen. Taking a gun and ambushing several police officers is not making something good happen.
Not.
You have just left a child without a father, a wife without a husband, a mother and father without a son. And believe me when I tell you, God is keeping track.
Oh,
He's going. You are going to have to pay for that action. But if you take that anger and you take the energy and begin to drive in a positive direction, one, to help bridge the gap between the citizens and the police or the citizens and sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
Two, find out what's missing with your community's agency of police and sheriffs, and how can you help push forward to make that thing better? Maybe the psychological testing. Maybe the cultural sensitivity training. Do something positive.
Or maybe even just getting to know them.
Talking to them.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know how wonderful it will make them feel? I had a situation that my son was involved in a situation, and the police was just so responsive.
Mm-hmm.
I literally called the precinct, and I spoke to the lieutenant. And I just told him, I just want you to know, police officer, blah, blah, blah. He was wonderful. He was responsive. He said, ma'am, do you know how very seldom
yes.
we get a call to say thank you?
Yes.
He said, I am so appreciative of that. I said, well, you need to appreciate that. Appreciate the police officer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause
he did his job, yes, but the way he did it was stellar.
And, you know, I did the same thing when the guy stole my car from in front of my house and crashed into the house. And when the police officer got there, I was just a bundle. But I said, I'm making some tea. Can I make you some tea? And we sat down and she did the report out and we had tea together.
Wow.
And so that she was like, oh, wow, you have really just made this not so crazy. She said, because when she walked in and saw the bricks in the house and the house crashed in the front from this guy stealing my car, she was like, I was like, what happened here? You know?
Wow.
And I was like, this is exactly what happened. So we sat down and had tea together.
And I guarantee you made her day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's make somebody's day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not ruin somebody's life here.
Yeah.
I know the anger is high. I know the fires are raging. But you know what you can do? Because a lot of times we get, you know, it's so bad, what can I do? You can make one phone call, or even if you're close enough, go to your police precinct
mm-hmm.
and just say, I know you guys are going through right now. I know everything's tense right now. But you know something? As a citizen of this community, I do appreciate you.
Yeah.
Just go by, just stop by and say those words. Watch the response that you get.
So understand, you do have a voice. You have a political voice, how we vote and
yes.
who we vote for. You can go to your community policing system, wherever that is. You have a voice.
You have a voice.
But let's use it calmly and peacefully.
Because
what's going on right now, we're all going to be in a world of trouble. We already feel like that every day that we turn the TV on. And what do you say to people who keep watching this thing over and over? You know, that's not healthy.
And you know my platform, okay? Turn that mess off.
Yes, yes.
Statistics and research proves, ladies and gentlemen, that watching the nightly news on a consistent basis makes you want to think negatively.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes your psyche, your subconscious mind, it pushes it in a negative position. And you know, we're not going to get into a discussion of the subconscious mind because that's too deep.
Yeah.
But literally, your subconscious drives every action you take
mm-hmm.
and every move you make. Listening to the nightly news on a consistent basis drives your subconscious in a negative direction. I don't care. It's like the train coming with the car.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't stop the train, then look at the car and say, don't go there.
Right.
Stop looking as if you're helpless. Turn the TV off. Get something positive in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I say this, I have people say, well, it's not going to stop the situation, Bernita. No, but what's going to happen by you watching it? Can you stop the situation?
No. All you're doing is getting deeper and deeper into this mire
yes.
of negativeness, of,
yes.
of woe is me, of hopelessness. And that's not where you need to be in this world.
That is not where you need to be.
Yeah.
Because basically, you're letting that reporter or that newscast drive how you see things,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, would it be good for you to know some stuff? Yeah. I'm never without knowledge. I go on the Internet, I read a couple of articles on the facts,
mm-hmm.
and I make my own assessment of what I need to do. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Turn the garbage off. Get the facts for yourself, and then ask God, what can I do in this situation? And guess what? When you can't figure out a step to take or an action to take, one thing you can always do is pray.
Pray. That's right. I agree. I totally agree. Look, great conversation, and thank you so much for, you know, giving us something to think about, something that we can just say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore, because you do have options.
Yes.
You have options there. You know,
as
it's,
you
it's
said,
not like
the,
you have
the
to.
Most powerful option is your voice.
Yes.
Use it positively
yes.
and wisely.
Absolutely. Doc, tell us where folks can reach out to you.
You can reach me at 404-510-7880. Again, 404-510-7880. Or email me at proverbspeace@gmail.com. Proverbspeace, one word, @gmail.com. That's Proverbs with an S. I would love to hear from you. And if any of you ladies are interested in joining us for Woman to Woman Keeping It Real, second Saturday of every month, we have these and other dynamic conversations. We'd love to have you be a part of it.
All right. Dr. Bernita Adams-Robinson, thank you so much for joining us.
Goodbye, Atlanta.